Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to spend the last half of this hour of Issues Etc. with Pastor David Peterson of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Parenting and pastoral care for children with special needs in their families. That's a broad category, isn't it? I mean, all kids have special needs, but then there are children who have needs that go beyond what any parent really, if they're honest, sit down and say, am I going to be able to handle this? What any parent could possibly think they could handle on their own. There are medical needs. There are psychological and psychiatric needs. There are physical needs, all sorts of things that a parent may be faced with when their child has special needs. And we're going to be talking about all of that in terms of parenting and pastoral care for the next half hour of Issues Etc. Now, you can join us. 1-877-623-MYIE is our call-in number. 877-623-6943, and our in-studio email address this Monday, November the 17th, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor David Peterson is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the blog Cyberstones. Pastor Peterson, welcome back.
Thank you.
I've read your blog for a long time, and occasionally you will write about the struggles of being a parent to a child with special needs. Tell us your story.
Well, our youngest son, John, is a high-functioning autistic, so we have two older children, and John is 3 years younger than our daughter, our middle daughter. So when he was born, we had a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old, something like that, 7-year-old and a 4-year-old, and he was quite a bit different even as a baby, very sort of difficult, cried a lot. We felt like we couldn't communicate with him, but we didn't know anything was going on, just that he cried a lot and was unhappy and made us unhappy. Then when that went on for a long time, a couple of years, and then we thought he still wasn't speaking, and we thought maybe he was deaf, though he didn't seem to be, but maybe that was what was causing it. And so we went to the doctor, and there was some fluid on his ears, so they put tubes in his ears and thought maybe that would solve the problem, and nothing changed from that. That was, in hindsight, really a stupid thing to do, but we didn't know at the time, I mean, because it was unnecessary. And then, anyway, things went on. He really, in some ways, got worse or felt worse because he just simply wasn't developing mentally and certainly vocally, like a regular child, or a typical child, I should say. So we couldn't talk to him, or we felt like we couldn't talk to him. He didn't respond to us talking to him, and he didn't talk. He just screamed. So that went on for several years until finally, when he was 4, through the public schools in Fort Wayne, we'd moved to Fort Wayne by then, he went through a whole battery of tests, all sorts of different specialists tested him and so forth. And then that took about 2 years, and ultimately he was diagnosed as being autistic. In the meantime, before he was officially diagnosed, he was admitted into the special ed preschool. So he did start to receive some, intervention, by about the time he was 5, or some therapy.
And how old is John now?
He is 11 now. So, yeah.
Okay. I know that autism, and it's not the only thing we're going to be talking about, but so we can get a kind of a bead on your situation, autism is a very, very broad syndrome or a very broad diagnosis. What does it look like in the Peterson household?
Well, he's it looks very different all the time because he is growing and changing and developing. It's autism is to some degree a developmental delay. So now that he's 11, you know, he probably has the emotional or social skills of like a 6-year-old. You know, the emotional and social skills of a 6-year-old are vastly superior to that of a 2-year-old. So, you know, it's changing all the time, and his kind of needs are changing. But a life with him can be very difficult because he has a lot of trouble controlling his emotions. So, you know, anything that happens to him is sort of over the top. I mean, if something goes slightly wrong, you know, like we serve something for dinner that he doesn't love, that can be the cause for just a total meltdown and, you know, a huge tantrum. Not so much as it used to be, but that's the sort of thing, you know, anything can kind of set him off. I did have a positive thing that happened the other night. Just Saturday night, we were playing a game as a family, and it was a game where one person in the could be a traitor, but you get these cards, and you don't know who the traitor is or if anybody's a traitor. And we've played this game for years, and John always wants to be the traitor and never has been. He got the card to be the traitor Saturday night, and he was quite happy about this. He likes games, and he likes playing games, and he was he's completely incapable of bluffing. I mean, he was up out of his seat, dancing around, jumping, pacing, you know, laughing, quite happy. So, I mean, it's not necessarily always, I mean, that was actually a very delightful thing because, I mean, when he's happy, he's happy. But it's that kind of inability to really kind of control himself or react appropriately for the situation, you know, and considering the feelings of other people.
What's been the biggest challenge as a parent, not only for you, but for you and your wife in this situation?
Well, the biggest thing is to know what to do. He obviously cannot have the same set of rules as the other children. And we've made so many mistakes with John, it's impossible to count them all. It's very difficult to know, I think, what standards he should meet. When we were really going through some really bad times a few years ago, we made the mistake then, with really special ed teachers and so forth, of lowering the standard to almost nothing. Anything John sort of wanted, we just went along with it. Okay, John can't stay in the classroom. Okay, John can't do his homework. Okay, John doesn't have to eat dinner if he doesn't want to. You know, whatever John wanted, we'd try to do it as a kind of, you know, appeasement strategy. And that was, I think, now that seems quite clear that that was the exact polar opposite of what we needed to do. But now we think, and I hope this will be turned out to be true, you know, actually, he can do the things that... he has a normal IQ, which is not normal for autistics or not typical. Generally, autistics have lower IQs than average. Almost always autism is accompanied with some level of mental retardation. So, but John isn't. He has a normal IQ. The sort of Rain Man thing, the savants, is very, very rare. As a sort of, you know, somebody in the autistic community, I can tell you, that's, by the way, an annoying question to be asked. I know people mean well, but when people find out you have an autistic child and they say, oh, what's his special power? Mm. You know, you sort of feel like saying, you know, go jump in the lake, buddy. There aren't special powers. There are savants, you know, like Rain Man with these incredible abilities, but that's really uncommon. Anyway, John's normal, and I think what we've learned is that actually John needs to be held to the same standard. And it's better for our John, it's better for him to get an honest D in a class than it is for him to change the standards and pretend like he did better than he did. Because he's completely capable of the... He has completely the academic ability. There's nothing for him in school that he doesn't understand. He's probably the best student in the class in terms of grasping the material. What his problem is he doesn't want to do the work. You know, if he gets tired of writing, and he has trouble with motor skills, so his writing's very sloppy. I mean, he just might not do it. So, years ago, what we would do is say, well, okay, John doesn't like to do his homework. He shouldn't have to do all the same homework the other children do because he has special needs. And now we're the other way, saying, nope, this is the standard, and if he fails to meet it, then let's grade him by the same criteria. And, you know, we're completely happy if he gets C's or D's, if they're honest, as opposed to pretending like he's doing stuff. So that was a long answer to a short question. The hardest thing is to know, I think, you know, if we're doing the right thing and, how to respond to this. What's best for him, and when should we push him, and when should we discipline him, and when should we give in to him? He can't have the same rules as other children, so what sort of tolerable behavior? And that's real, you know, but that's not, is that any different than... Is that any different than having more than one child anyway?
I'm thinking you're describing the struggle that my wife and I engage in virtually every day on an hourly basis. We're talking with Pastor David Peterson. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the blog Cyberstones about parenting and pastoral care for children with special needs and their families. I really like to hear from parents of special needs children. Give us a call or email us during this break, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. We're coming to you live this Monday, November the 17th. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. When we come back, Pastor Peterson has been very frank, very honest about being the parent of a child with special needs. I wonder, do you ever ask yourself the question, God, why me? We'll get his answer to that on the other side. Dr. Albert Mohler will be our guest to kick off hour two of Issues, Etc. in about 10 minutes. We'll do some election analysis. And then Pastor David Chatty will join us. We'll begin a three-part daily series with him on the gospel and the Christian family. Today we'll start with marriage. What's the relationship of the gospel to the Christian family? Oh, there's so much there in the Bible. We'll explore it in about 40 minutes here on Issues, Etc. with Pastor David Chatty. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll have more with Pastor David Peterson about parenting and pastoring children and families with special needs. Stay tuned.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our community, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Will your church be one of the Issues, Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300, click the Sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, Etc. 300.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues, Etc. Tom and Margie Murph, Pastor Stephen Kaiser, Barbara Lundquist, Christian Belke, Pam Hickey, Pastor Daniel Freeman, Pastor Herman Williams, Carol Williams, Pastor Timothy May, and Pastor Arthur Schwenk. Thanks for your support.
It is evident that those who prepared this book took seriously Luther's understanding of the Catechism as a text to be prayed.
Pastor John Pless on Treasury of Daily Prayer.
I especially appreciate the devotional gems gleaned from Lutheran writers of the Reformation period, as well as more recent times.
Find out more about Treasury of Daily Prayer at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Treasury of Daily Prayer. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor David Peterson is our guest. We're talking about parenting and pastoral care for children with special needs and their families. Pastor Peterson, I've read much of what you've written about life as a parent with John and the family, and you've been very honest and very frank in many of the things you've written. Have you ever asked yourself, God, why me?
Well, I'm afraid to ask that question because I'm afraid I don't like the answer. I'm very much afraid that I know why me, and I don't like it. It makes me angry because I think why me is because this has been very, very good thing for me, it's not fun to hear that this thing that is causing you so much grief is in fact what's best for you. But I do know that I expect this has made me a better pastor, more sympathetic to those who are out of control of their lives for whatever reason, because they're dealing with disabilities or mental illness, or they just don't have all of the tools and abilities to deal with their lives. And I think that's definitely, I have a level of sympathy I didn't have before. I can also, though I don't think I was ever terrible about this, I do remember times in my life being, you know, in a restaurant or a grocery store and children nearby being loud or misbehaving or whatever, and thinking, you know, that the parent wasn't disciplining the child properly. And those thoughts certainly have come back to haunt me, because we've had some pretty ugly scenes with John in grocery stores and restaurants and public parks. There was years that we took John nowhere, except for to church and to school, because we never went. I mean, one of us just had to always be at home with John, because you just couldn't take him anywhere because he was so out of control. So I don't ask why me. I'm afraid that I probably ask questions that are more impious than that sometimes, questions more about just the character of why did you heal all of these people in the New Testament and you're not healing John, or why are you allowing these terrible things to go on? I mean, as frustrated and angry and tired as Jackie and I have gotten at times, and it should be, I hope it's clear, I want to say it if it isn't. I mean, she's bore the absolute brunt of this thing, because I have always escaped to work, and, she's always been there. But, he himself has not been happy in these things. It's not like he's throwing a temper tantrum and going ballistic and doing the terrible things he's done because he's happy. I mean, he's, wildly unhappy, that's the most heartbreaking thing. So those are more of the sort of frustrating questions or crises of faith I've felt. Not so much why me, but why at all?
Let's see what Kathy has to say. She's calling from St. Charles, Missouri. Kathy, thank you for waiting on the line.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I, too, have an 11-year-old son with special needs. He has Down syndrome, autism. He has celiac sprue, and he has allergies to eggs, milk, soy, and yeast, and asthma, and he's severely disabled, and he has no functioning skills. He can walk, but he lost all his verbal skills. He has the MR from the Downs, and he has the MR from the autism, and it's just so frustrating because we became Lutheran after he was born, and because he was so sick. And until this summer, we couldn't figure out what was causing his constant congestion. And since he can't wipe his own nose, the nose wiping problems were such an issue in the home with cleanliness and things I can now eat a dinner, I'm thankful, without having to constantly wipe his nose, and I can eat a hot meal. But we just couldn't get involved in church like they wanted. I mean, we can go on Sunday, and we're still at that place where we cannot take him out. We have to have respite, and so we get 5 hours a week. It allows us about 3 to 3.5 hours on Sunday, and then to do something with the other kids, but not a lot of time. We really cannot take him out in public. We do have a chair that we use, like a large stroller, to stroll him around, to keep, kind of use it as a restraining device, and it allows us some mobility in the community. But the problem we had in church was getting involved. My kids were in Lutheran schools, and they wanted me to volunteer and do things because I was at home, and they thought I just had all this time. They just had no concept of the amount of work it was involved with a child who's perpetually disabled, who has perpetual health problems, who's got more than one disability, and there was just very little understanding. We did go to another Lutheran church because of some of the issues that we had at the one, and while they had a little more understanding, it was still very difficult to make connections with people. And so now we're back at the first church, and we can go. I can go a little more regularly, and I can start to sing in choir, so I can make some connections. But just people don't have any understanding. So we had no support from church, and we still have none. Very little support from our state. And in fact, I'm looking to sell some jewelry so we can maybe get some Medicaid. And it's just so frustrating. People have no idea.
Kathy, thank you very much for giving us a call, and thank you very much for sharing that with us. Pastor Peterson, your thoughts on Kathy's call?
Well, I'm heartbroken for her. That's what she describes is far more typical with autism. We've been very fortunate with John that he doesn't have any of those other problems. I mean, our experience is nowhere near that. But I do know that when we were in kind of our worst points of this, the thing that we wanted so desperately was respite care. And, you know, it always seemed quite obvious to us, but it most certainly wasn't to our brothers and sisters in Christ, even to our families, that we really needed a break. And, you know, the one thing that we could do is, you know, just the difference it would make for her if somebody in her church would just offer to come and, you know, sit with her for a while would really be astounding. And I realize that not everybody's equipped for that, and certainly not everybody is ready to necessarily take over full care of her child. But I would think that most people would be willing or able to go to her house and sit and have a cup of tea with her for an hour and at least give her some companionship. I think the other thing that we could do for Kathy, at least, you know, from my personal experience in this, probably one of the most difficult things that we heard from people was things like, though it was meant well, was, you know, John's just a normal boy. He's just a boy full of, you know, boy stuff, and that's all. And that wasn't, even though people were trying to comfort us and saying there's nothing wrong, that didn't help us, because there was something wrong, and pretending that it wasn't, you know, then why are we so tired? And I think the thing that we, maybe this was vain, but the thing that we wanted to hear, and when we did hear it on occasion, meant so much to us, was, you know, you're doing a good job. you've been given a difficult thing, Kathy, and you're doing a good thing. You're taking care of this child, and God has given you this child in his wisdom for, you know, because you're the best parent for that child. I mean, ultimately it's his, not yours. And this is a good thing. So keep it up. And even if nobody in your town or your church notices, the angels notice.
Pastor Peterson, with only about 30 seconds here before we have to wrap up our conversation, do you ever think about Christ's return at the resurrection? When a child with special needs, or John with special needs, is restored to the full health that you talked about before, do you ever think about that? About 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think about that almost every day. What a joy that's going to be for all of us to finally be whole and healthy the way we were intended to be.
Pastor David Peterson is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the blog Cyberstones. You can read his blog under the on-demand page of our website. We have a link right there, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Pastor Peterson, thank you very much for being our guest, and you keep up the good work, too.
Thank you.
When we come back from this break, A little election analysis to kick off the second hour of the program. Dr. Albert Mohler, always a pleasure to speak with him. He's been writing and thinking, and I imagine looking ahead into the future, what it's going to mean for the causes of marriage and life in a four-year, perhaps longer term of President-elect Barack Obama. We'll see what he has to say about 2 weeks out from the election. And then Pastor David Shaddy will be our guest. We're going to begin a three-part daily series with him on the gospel and the Christian family. Today, we'll begin with marriage. You can join us for the next hour of the program, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. And our in-studio email address this Monday, November the 17th, talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Hour two with Dr. Albert Mohler and Pastor David Shaddy right after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.